Welcome to the first Sunday in the season of Lent. We are here in the middle of what is the beginning of a very important journey in the life of the church here. And that, of course, is the journey to the cross and then to the empty grave itself at Easter. As we begin, though, we begin at the opposite end of Jesus' narrative. We begin as Jesus is at the very, very beginning phases of his ministry. As Jesus has been baptized by John in the Jordan, he emerges from the water and the Holy Spirit descends on him, and a voice speaks from heaven saying, "This is my son." And then, if that didn't seem like a triumphant enough beginning, things take a drastically different turn. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness, where for 40 days he is tempted and tried and has to prove himself as he gets ready to begin his ministry. When Jesus has reached the end of this difficult, trying time, the devil comes to him at his physically weakest in hopes that Jesus will be swayed by some of the devil's reasoning. And when we get to this point in the story of Jesus' life, there's a very important transition happening here. And that is that Jesus is going to demonstrate himself more than just a carpenter's son. He's going to demonstrate him the Son of God. Now, as he does this, the devil begins with the question, "If you are truly," he keeps saying that, "if you are really, if you are truly, if you are actually the Son of God." This is a tactic that he uses three times in a row. And why? Because this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And the fundamental, most important thing is that Jesus has been identified and identifies as the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is attested to this. The very voice from heaven has spoken this truth, and we will see it played out again and again and again in the New Testament. But the devil's goal is to get Jesus to question this, to question his role, to question his purpose, and most importantly, to question the Father's plan for Jesus' ministry. See, Jesus knows that he's come to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. He knows that he is here to redo what was broken in the Garden of Eden. He knows that he is here to make the world a new and different place. And so it's not surprising that when the devil offers him temptations, first he begins with the simple. "If you are truly the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Jesus knows that this is a period of fasting, that he is supposed to be without bread. And so he resists the devil. Then the devil again says, "If you are truly the Son of God," he does this two more times, and he offers him two things. The first is, "Throw yourself off of this temple. And if you are truly the Son of God, the angels will come down and they will bear you up so that you don't even stub your toe." Now, you might ask, why would this be a temptation? Who thinks it's a great idea to throw themselves off a building? But of course, the answer is that the devil had taken him to the top of the temple. Jesus would have performed this miracle in full sight of the high priests, the rabbis, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of the spiritual leaders of Israel. It would have been a grand, glorious stunt that would have guaranteed that every single person of any religious significance would bow before Jesus as a miracle worker, a prophet, and Messiah. This would, of course, short-circuited Jesus doing the actual work that the Father wanted him to do. And it, of course, would have pandered to exactly the people who weren't faithful, instead of what Jesus was sent to do, which was to gather the faithful. The other thing the devil offers Jesus is that he takes him up and he shows him all of the nations of the world. And he says, "All authority on earth is given to me. I can give it to you." Now, first of all, I want to counter that I think that was a lie. Because, of course, the devil's really inclined to lie whenever he can. Because I think the truth is actually in the end of the Gospel of Matthew. When God the Father says that for Jesus, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. See, I think when the devil says, all of the nations of the world are mine, I could give them to you. That's a lie. But it's an understandable lie if you really pay close attention to the way most governments behave. You or I might easily assume that the devil has his hand rather firmly on the steering wheel. But the devil says, I could give you all of the countries of the world. So what is it that the devil has offered Jesus? He's offered Jesus his human needs, bread, and then he's offered to take over and give Jesus a physical kingdom and spiritual dominion over the church. Just short-circuit the whole process, and most importantly, avoid the cross. All Jesus has to do is worship the devil. Now, Jesus refuses these temptations because he knows the way to bring the kingdom truly into this world is the cross. The devil offers him a shortcut, a short circuit around the cross, which Jesus turns down. Because, of course, only through the forgiveness of humanity is the kingdom able to come into the world that is God's kingdom. The devil offered Jesus a fake, a counterfeit, again, a lie. Now, the story is important because you and I, we're probably never going to wander in the wilderness for 40 days without food or water. The devil's probably never going to offer to make you or I king of all of the world. He's never going to give us the opportunity to perform a miracle that will make all of the churches of the world come and worship us. And honestly, if we were in Jesus' situation and the devil put his full force against tempting you or I, chances are we probably wouldn't do so well. In fact, I can almost guarantee we'd probably fail at the task. Because unlike Jesus, we're not sinless. And so it's not as though this story is wagging its finger at us saying, you sinful people who give in to Satan's temptations, this is how you do it right. Do what Jesus did, or else. The text isn't telling us that we are equal to Christ, because we're not. But what it is telling us is that Christ is superior to the devil. It's telling us that Christ overcomes the devil's empty promises. And that Christ cannot be stopped in his mission to save humanity. You and I, we face temptation. We face temptation all the time. And the way the devil tempts us is in really many ways no different than the way the devil tempted Jesus. The devil almost never comes to us and says, you know that horribly wrong thing that you find absolutely abhorrent? Why don't we go do that? No. The devil offers us these small concessions, these small temptations to do the wrong thing to get the right outcome, or do the wrong thing to get a mostly right outcome, or some right, or a righter than other outcomes. The devil is constantly tempting us by rationalizing. And we hear it in our hearts and our minds all the time. That voice that rationalizes why it would be okay to do wrong just this once. Only in this circumstance. For really good reasons. We realize that if we do that wrong thing to get that right-ish outcome, that we're compromising, but we do it anyway sometimes, don't we? This is why it was so important that Jesus not bypass the cross. The cross is our source of forgiveness. And truly, without the cross, we can know no forgiveness. Because what Jesus purchased for us there on that cross was the 100% absolute and complete forgiveness of all our sin. Of course, this isn't an encouragement to us to go out and sin more, but instead it is a promise to us that when the devil does ensnare us with his rationalizations, his half-truths, and we discover that we've made a horrible mistake that has led to great calamity in our lives, that we can expect forgiveness. See, Christ was always faithful. Faithful to his Father in heaven, faithful to the task that his Father in heaven set forth, and faithful to you and me, even faithful to the point of the cross. And so that we know that Christ is faithful to forgive our sins. All of those times when we hear the devil's rationalizations and we think, well, just this one time, and it's for a good reason. And we make the wrong choice. God wants us to make the right choices, not because God is an angry and judgmental God who wants to bring down the lightning and thunder of heaven onto us who have dared make mistakes, because God knows the mistakes that we make bring the power of death and pain and misery into our lives, that we invite that power in. And God wants for his children something better. And so, for those of us who rely on the forgiveness that comes through and only through Jesus Christ, we know that Christ, who is faithful at everything, is faithful to us. And that the God that calls us to righteousness also provides us with a source of forgiveness.